We'll turn to Paul's epistle to Romans, chapter 8. Romans 8, and we're going to start at verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Dear congregation, as we promised you this morning, we want to preach the gospel to you tonight about what you find in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We write above the sermon of this night only one word: heirs, receivers of the heritage, heirs. We like to be a heir, isn't it, children? May you go get a letter this week from the notary? You are in a testament. You inherited $1 million. Oh, you should be so happy. $1 million. Then I'm rich. Are you really rich? Then you should receive in the same week a message, you have to die. To die? So young? Yes. Where is your million? What can you do with your million? Nothing. So listen well, my dear children and everybody here. Is your name already in the Testament, the Old and New Testament, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Then you have an inheritance which you never can lose. It's for all eternity. Here's. In the first place, of whom? And if children, then here's. Here's. Of God. Here's of God Himself. For if you are a child, God is your heavenly loving Father. Then you are written in His testament. And all what He promised is yours. And then in the second place, we consider shortly with whom. Here's of God and joined here's with Christ. Joined here's with Christ. He is your eldest brother. And you belong to His body. He is your head. And you are His members. And if children, that's the condition, of course. And if children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And in the third place, we consider of what? The heritage. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Here's of God with Christ of what? Dear congregation, nothing is so important for you and for me than to be a true child of God. Nothing can be compared with that great eternal blessing. Do you believe that, children, young people? Can you have one moment rest still? In a situation of to be unconverted? For such as we are sitting and standing here, it's one of the two. We are children, or we are not. We are born out of God to a living hope, or we are still in the flesh. And as long as we are in the flesh, we don't live. We don't see. We are deaf. We hear the most terrible things and we don't tremble. We hear the most joyful things and we have no joy. We are like children, says the Savior, playing on the market. They cry. But it's only playing. They make joy, but they don't feel the joy. What you need is life, spiritual, eternally life. The Lord Jesus says, I am the life. Undoubtedly, as long as you are not a child of God, really, you are the most unhappy creature in this world. Do you see a horse? Do you see a cow? That animal is not so unhappy. For death is death. He has no immortal soul, but you have a soul which must be saved. Do you pray often, children? When you are alone in your bedroom, Lord, save my soul, save my soul. Do it. For the Lord is mighty, and he is willing to save your soul, to bring you over from darkness into light, from life, from death into life. He came to seek and to save what is lost. He came to make alive what is dead. He is a full and willing, complete, perfect Savior. And therefore he preaches gospel by means of the word. He works it. It's true. When you are a child of God, you are the most happy person in this world. Often you cannot see that, maybe. Often you cannot feel that. There can be times in your life, and there are, that you feel the opposite. By example, David, Psalm 116, pains and the fears of hell were in his heart. But yet he cried unto the Lord, O Lord, help! And the Lord did. It depends not our happiness on our feeling. It depends on the love of our Father. And that love is unchangeable. That love is perfect. That love is eternally. The love of God, revealed in Christ Jesus, applied by the Holy Spirit to your heart. That makes you happy, man. And that's the condition of our text. For the apostle in Romans 8, he makes very clear who are really children of God and who are not. And we must search ourselves, of course, in the light of the Holy Word. Is our name written in this portion of the New Testament? Do we know by grace the personal application of saving grace, the righteousness of Christ to our soul? And do we have the witness of God himself in our heart that we are children of God? For so many people think that they are, and they are not. Our heart is so deceitful. It's so dangerous in the church. There are so many false preachers who deceive the souls, your soul. And therefore you cannot be grateful enough when the Lord sends you a faithful preacher, an honest preacher, who preaches the word sharply, honestly, lovingly, at all sides. And let that be your prayer. For you can only deceive your soul once. And when you come at the end, and you must say, Lord, we prophesied in thy name, we did miracles in thy name, and the Lord shall answer you, go away, I never knew you. Then you are lost. Your poor soul and body are lost for all eternity. And the true people of God can be sometimes concerned a lot about that. Oh Lord, my heart is so deceitful. I don't know, Lord.
And what are they crying? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. There is a people on this world. That's God's own people, friends. And they can do it only with God and his voice. My sheep hear my voice.
And that's the holy secret between the bride, Christ, the bride, the church, and her bridegroom, Christ. And therefore the bride was longing in Solomon's song, he kissed me with the kisses of his mouth. Did you ever receive the kiss of the mouth of your bridegroom?
Are you not longing for such a kiss? Do you have not any experience with such a kiss? That's a bad sign. For the bride is longing. He kissed me.
And when he does, there is no doubt anymore. There is a fullness of peace and love in your soul. And you cannot keep that. But he keeps it. And he renews it. And he comes back again and again. And you become more and more a little child. Father, Dad, kiss me. Kiss me. And then everything is quiet in your soul. If children, and we are children, for when the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In the new birth, you receive the Holy Spirit himself. And it starts to sing your soul. What we did in Psalm 42. That's the psalm of the life of every true believer. My soul is thirsting for God, the living God. And the Lord brings us at the feet of the cross and gives us grace to look unto Jesus and to rest in him only, and the Holy Spirit witness and beareth witness in our heart. Spirit of adoption, that we are truly children. And we are in the struggle still. We are in the fight. We are among a lot of temptations. We can fall deep. We can lose the feeling of it. But if we are children, we can never lose the childhood. And then it's true what is written here in our text. We are heirs of God. Of God himself. He loves us with an eternal, unchangeable, everlasting love. And let that be printed in your soul, children of God. Many people shall hate you. That's what the Lord Jesus said. They have hated me. They shall hate you. But let it be enough that your heavenly Father loves you from all eternity unto all eternity. And that nobody and nothing in your life can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I often think the Church of God could live more comforted. The Church of God should be more joyful. The Church of God must live with the promises of God as a living reality by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That's the medication, the only medication against all the sorrows of this life, all the troubles and temptations of Satan. My Father in heaven loves me, and he let me know that till in the deepest of my soul, by the Spirit of adoption, by which I can say, Abba, Father. It's one of the first words, isn't it? Children, which you learned. Mom, and dead. When you started to recognize your father, you know, he is the man out of which I've been born. He is the man who loves me. I'm flesh of his flesh. I'm blood of his blood. I seek my refuge, protection, and rest in my father. And an earthly father cannot really give you. For earthly fathers can disappoint a lot. I was here in jail, very often in prisons, and most of the guys didn't know who was their father, really. And one of the things I felt, they miss a father. And they often called me father. Till now, I'm corresponding with a lot of them, and most of them, they are signing your son. They need a father. But how much more do you need that heavenly father? And that you know you belong to him and are in his testament. For God the Father has chosen you from the foundation of the world. It's not your choice. It's not your work that he loves you. That makes it so sure. For when it depends, like the Arminians want to teach us, when it depends on our choice, on our perseverance, oh, it makes you so tired. It makes you so afraid. I'm not strong enough. But it's his strength. It's his love. That's the secret and the comfort of God's child. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. I remember that there was in one of my congregations a nice Christian woman. And she told in the night when we came together and had the Lord's Supper such a nice story out of her experience. It was so dark and cloudy in her soul the whole week, and Satan was tempting her all the time. And she thought, well, I cannot attend the Lord's table in this situation. And she made a decision, I will not go. I cannot. But then on the morning of the Lord's day, everything changed. She was still in her bed. And the Lord came over in her soul and spoke so powerfully. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And then she came at the table. I didn't know that, of course. But I had chosen exactly that chapter, John 10, as I remember well, in which that beautiful text was written. But I had chosen another text to speak about. But when I was reading the chapter, the Lord attached me to that wonderful, comforting text. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I started to speak out of the richness and the love of God, eternal, founded in his election, in his choice. And her soul was totally filled that day. And she gave such a beautiful witness. She's in heaven now since long, I think. But it's so beautiful. God himself, his choice, his love, that belongs to the heritage. God the Son loves you, dear child of God. He loves you with an unchangeable, eternal love. He came for also for you from heaven to the earth. He took your nature. He became you alike in all things except sin. He did it for you. Can be so often the question, did the Lord Jesus came for me? Did he die really for me at the cross? He did. If you are a child, it's undoubted that he came for you, that he took away at the cross all your sins. No one is left. No one. You are clean in the eyes of your heavenly Father. He looks upon you in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you are in his testament. Because he loves you in Christ and for Christ's sake.
And therefore, he doesn't see any guilt or fault in his people. All your sins he threw away behind his back. And he doesn't remember them anymore. They are away. Forgiveness means they are away. They don't exist any longer.
And God the Holy Spirit makes these precious things. Nothing can be more precious. Nothing can be more valuable. To know that God loves me with his eternal, unchangeable love. That Christ, his only begotten Son, loves me so much that he came for me from heaven unto earth. And that he went for me on the cross in the pains of hell and death. And that he resurrected for me and is always praying for me at the right hand of the Father. And he makes their place for me according his promise. If ye are a child, you are heirs. Heirs of God. And God the Holy Spirit is living in you. Creating in you the new life. And he grows in you. So that you become more and more a stranger here. So that the things of this vanishing world cannot fail you at all. But that your heart is longing for the things and the kingdom which is coming. And he is sighing in you, unspeakable. Lord, come. And the bride, you are the bride, if you are a child. And the Spirit say, come. So you can know it. Is that longing living in your soul, friend? Maybe you bow your head ashamed and says, I wished it was more. I'm often so involved in the things of this world. I'm so busy with my family, with my work and my job and my business, that there are sometimes days that I think so little, that must make us ashamed, that takes away our comfort. It doesn't take away our childhood. Also, even how terrible it is when we fall in sin, in terrible sin, then deep in the deepest of our soul is there the groaning, that unspeakable sighing, oh God,
oh God,
you know, that's the sighing of the Spirit. And the Lord is always coming again and again to revive his poor people and to let them know, I love you with an eternal love. Also, when you are unfaithful, I stay faithful. And now in the second place, we consider with whom, for our text is going farther. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You all understand, my dear children, that an heritage is always combined with the death. And it has a great reason that salvation is explained to us in the terms of heritage. And to understand it well, it's not understandable. It goes far beyond understanding. And it's only by faith that we can comprehend it a little. For also when we are children, we know in part, a little part, but truly. And it always makes us longing for knowing more. If we are a child, we must grow.
Grow in grace, Grow in the knowledge of the Father and the love of the Father. Grow in the knowledge of Christ and the love of Christ. Grow in the working of the Holy Spirit in our soul. Let us grow. That's the command of the Lord at the end of the letter of Peter, you remember. And that's the longing of the soul who is living seriously, truly, to grow in grace. We have enough when we have God, but we have never enough of Him. We have enough at Him, never of Him. We need eternity to know God, to enjoy Him, to experience His love. We need an immortal soul in a perfect body. And then we need eternity. But what we know here is a small part, but it is true. Well, the Lord gave the heritage, the full heritage, which He provided to His own Son. And sometimes we read something about that in the Holy Word of God. By example, in Psalm 2, verse 8, then we hear the Father, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. What's the heritance of Christ? The uttermost, the heathen, and the uttermost parts of the earth for His possession. The heathen. Also the heathen. We belong to that heritage. We are the heathen. There is a special place in God's counsel for His own covenant people. But we don't belong to that covenant people. We are one with them as far as they are true believers in Christ, of course. There's no division in the body of Christ. But there is difference. God's purpose, God's counsel. For in other parts of the word we read that it is too little for the Lord to raise up His people Israel. That He is given also to an inheritance of the heathen in Isaiah. But here the Lord is, God the Father is speaking very clearly, ask of me. And the Lord asked His whole bride, His whole church. Father, they were thine. And thou hast given them unto me. But now the price. The price by which you and I can be saved and must be saved. Did you ever realize that price? God's people has to meditate upon that price every day. And we know all, you children, you know it. The price is the death of Christ. We can only receive this inheritance and be in here as a fruit of the death of Christ. But what a price. I think we need eternity to meditate upon that price. For in that price is so clearly visible the great extending, all-extending love of the Lord Jesus. For the price was that He laid down His divine glory. He who was accustomed to all the glories of heaven from all eternity. He who was surrounded by the millions and billions of holy angels. He was only living in the sphere of perfect holiness, perfect glory. He laid down His divine glory. And He came to us, to this fallen, sinful world.
And he lived among us as one of us. 30 years. He lived, grew up in Nazareth. And he was the son of a carpenter. And his brothers did not believe in him. And there he was living 30 years, the light of the world, the bread of life, God himself manifested in the flesh. All the time, feeling till in the deepest of his holy soul, the price, the burden,
the angel of God against the sin of man. And he was aware, I have to pay that price.
That's really a high price by which we can receive that heritage. And we never can meditate enough upon that price. For when he was 30 years, he came forward. Started his public ministry.
Only 3 years. Changed the world. Changed thousands and millions of hearts of people. He's preached all over the world now. Only 3 years was his public ministry. And all the time he was witnessing about his heritage. All the time he was telling the people that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes unto the Father but by him. And at the end he suffered. At the end, at the cross, he was forsaken. There he was hanging in the depths of hell. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there he paid the price and gave up the ghost. And then the heritage came free.
What a price, what a savior. The Lord made him heir of
everything, heaven and earth, a new heaven, a new earth, a new manhood. And he paid the price, he alone, you not. Nothing. Christ did all everything alone. And how can you receive the fruits of that price?
By faith. Lord, I'm lost.
Lord, I'm only a sinner. I have only sin. I do only sin. I can nothing do but sin. Lord, be merciful upon me, looking unto that blessed Savior. And by faith, you receive the heritage, and you become a child.
And then Christ is coming in you. And you are in Christ. You are cut off from Adam. And you are implanted, embodied, one with this blessed Savior. And his heritage is now your heritage. Joined heirs with Christ. All what Christ merited by his death, he gives it to his members.
We are partakers. And he only paid the price. And therefore we shall give him all glory into all eternity. Therefore we love him because he first loved us. Therefore we have only desire to praise his name and to glorify him.
In our last point, we try to open the testament and to focus on that heritage. But on the forehand, I must confess that what I can say about it, it's so poor, is such a mini part of this heritage. For God's word is telling us that no eye have seen it, no ear has heard it, that it didn't come up in the heart of man what God has provided for them who love him. So, yet we try to speak according to the scriptures, to say something about what God has provided for his elected people, the heritage, the eternal heavenly heritage, co-heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. And then we can divide this heritage in two parts. What we receive here, it's easier to speak about that. And what we receive when we enter eternity. What do we receive here? Yet the most important part. It's God himself. That's the great difference between true saving grace and everything what is not real and not true. At the moment that you are born again and that the spirit of adoption is coming in you and growing in you, at the same moment you receive the tie of love with God. And your heart is crying for God, the living God. And you will have what you desire. He gives your deepest wish. At this side of the grave already, when you are reconciled with God, when you see his friendly face, when the Lord let light his countenance upon you, when the peace of God is filling your heart, when the love of God makes you so happy, when his loving kindness is coming in you, God himself is the heritage, an eternal heritage, a beautiful heritage. I cannot say it in the Dutch. I cannot say it in the English. You can only experience it. And then you receive a foretaste of that eternal heritage, God's presence, God's loving kindness. Therefore, the blessing of the high priest out of the altar and the burnt offering was that beautiful blessing from Numbers 6. And there you see so beautiful expressed what is the inheritance. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. He protects you. He watches you. You are safe. What happens? You are safe. You are in his heart. You are in his love. God the Father loves you. The Lord Jesus emphasized the Father himself loves you. God himself is your heritage. That's what the Lord promised to Abram. I am your reward. I. And that's the difference from the beginning. When this faith is not true, it's not focused on the Lord himself, you know. But when faith is true faith, when grace is saving grace, then God is the purpose. To be reconciled with him, to experience his love, to be in his nearness, to follow his steps, to do his will. That's your delight when you are a child. It's the delight of the Lord Jesus to do the will of his Father which is in heaven. And it's our delight too, by grace. God himself. It's God the Father. My Father in Christ Jesus, for Christ's sake. Our Father which art in heaven. Our Father, the blessing of all God's children, united in one love, in one desire. Thy name must be glorified. That's number one. Let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done. God himself, when you have grace, if you are a child, you have God himself. You have enough. For time and eternity, in life and death. But when you don't have that faith and heritage, you have nothing but a lost eternity. And therefore you are warned to flee to the Savior, the only way to the Father. It's God the Son. For when saving grace came in your heart and life, you have this spiritual hunger to know, I said. To know God, or soul in his persons. There is a wonderful unity in God. These three are one. But there is also a difference. When you come at home, you do good to read the confession of Athanasius. It's not read so much. But it's a very beautiful explanation of the Trinity. It goes far beyond our understanding, and yet when we are a child, we have such a spiritual hunger to know God, God the Son. We saw him by faith. We saw his divine glory. Flesh and blood did not make it manifest to us. But our Father which is in heaven, so that we by faith could say, thou art the Son of the living God. That's the unity of the church of all ages. And the confession of Athanasius, he says rightly, and he who doesn't believe this cannot be saved. We are heirs, and the heritage is God himself, God the Holy Spirit. God is in you. He will never leave you. Sometimes you can lose the feeling of his presence. Sometimes you can lose the feeling of his comfort. But he will never leave you. And always bring you back to the Father. By the Son. Always giving back in your soul the comfort of the love of God. He is God's unspeakable gift to you. God, the Holy Spirit, sighing in you, bearing witness in you, longing in you for sanctification. Without nobody can see the Lord. So the heritage is God. Heaven is God. The heaven without God. Is no heaven at all. The children of God, they want to be, and there they are happy, in the presence of their heavenly Father. They want to be close to him. They want to be in the presence of their bridegroom, and they want to be kissed by him. And they are longing for the feeling and the comfort of their comforter, living in them, sighing in them. And so they are living with the triune God here. It's all in part. Sometimes it's far away. And sometimes the deceiver says, you have no salvation. It's all imagination. It's all your own work. And then your soul is crying, oh Lord, oh Lord. And the Holy Spirit bears witness again, again, deeper, stronger, more wonderfully with your spirit that it is true, that it is true. Once a child of God was afflicted a lot. And she was walking outside, walking along the dike. And then she saw from far her pastor. And she cried very loudly, Pastor, how can I know that it is be true? And then the pastor cried, when he comes back, the Lord always comes back. We begin every service, who will never forsake the works of his hands. He always comes back. There is also another part of the heritage at this site of the grave. If so, if we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so, be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. That's also a part of the inheritance. There are religious circles and churches, and you find only joy. They are glad, they make joy, they make noise. But what do you miss there? Young people, be careful. Let your soul not be deceived by that joy. It's not a true joy. There is in the life of God's true people also a lot of sorrow. In the world, you will have tribulation. You suffer. You suffer with Christ if you belong to him. Then it belongs to that heritage here that you suffer a lot with him. Why? Well, the world shall hate you. And be your own children. Your own parents. Your own family. How often does it happen, also in our circles, that when young people confess their faith, that their parents say, no, we don't accept that. That's hard. But you can expect that. When your parents are unconverted and want to stay in their unbelief, maybe in a conservative way, but unbelief is unbelief. Unbelief is enmity against God. Unbelief can take a black coat, but it's unbelief, it's a beast, it's the devil. Hate your unbelief. But you can expect from all sides of unbelievers, conservative and not conservative, they hate. They hated me. How much hate received the Lord Jesus of strict religious persons? Pharisees, scribes, priests, they were all against him. You can expect that. The world shall hate you. The religious world shall hate you. If so, if you are here, that we suffer with him. Also, you are suffering a lot because sin. The more the Lord gives light and truth in your own heart and life, the more you discover. The more you see how deep is sin in your being, in your thoughts, in your desires, in your lusts. And some sins are coming up at an older age, which you never expected to have. I had a good friend, and I was young, and he was old. And it was a friend in Christ. He was 70, I was 20. And I didn't understand it so well then. A little bit better now. And he often cried when he spoke with me. And then he said, I hear wolves crying in the woods, which I never knew. And the meaning was, I feel sins coming up in my heart, which I never thought to have. Sins for which I despised other people. And now I see and feel I am the same sinner. And you suffer. You grow.
You want to be holy. You want to be perfect. You want to be Christ-like. And you are not. You have lifelong the struggle against the flesh. And the flesh is so strong. Therefore we have to watch and to pray all the time, to cleave to the Lord, to cleave close to the Lord and to his word and to his people. We need one another in that struggle on life and death. We suffer.
We see so much sin around us. We see our children growing up and they have a lot of joy and they seek entertainment and they seek the world. And they are not concerned about their soul. They are not concerned about eternity. And when you warn them, they say, Dad, I'm young. I want to enjoy my young life. But my dear young people, you will enjoy your young life when the peace of Christ is in you.
When the love of God is in you. Then you will enjoy your life. Not in all the entertainment of the world. It's vanity. And you are living on the fair of vanity. And you know what Christian was doing when he had to go through that fair. He did his fingers in his ears. Life, life, eternal life. That's what you must do. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek that eternal heritage. If so, you have to suffer a lot.
But we read it also this morning. That it cannot be compared. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, for this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's the other part of the heritage. God himself, here, knowing very, very little. But when we go over from time into eternity, we will see God in all his fullness, in all his beauty, in all his glory. And we will see God the Father. And we will enjoy his love. And we see our heavenly bridegroom. And we see him like he is. And we are him alike. And we are filled, totally filled, with the Holy Spirit. And we see it so beautifully expressed in that wonderful text in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 5. That heritage, so beautiful. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, ready to be revealed. What an inheritance! The glory of heaven, the full eternal knowledge of God, the deepest fulfillment of all your spiritual wishes, then to be one with the church, the fullness of the church, the body of Christ, perfect, united. Christ's prayer be heard. Lord, Father, let they be one as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be one in us. We suffer a lot here, isn't it? By splittings, by divisions, between God's children, not accepting one another, not believing the grace in the lives of one another. So many things by which we suffer here. Also, when we consider the situation of the church, it's not God's will that his people is divided. It's against his command, his prayer. But then we shall have a unity. And we feel it sometimes here. When you travel in a lot of countries, as I did this year, then it's so amazing that in different places you meet people and you feel a unity in the love of Christ. Maybe there are differences in culture, in habits, but in the deepest thing you feel the unity. Seek that unity. Break down the walls and seek the unity of the church. And know that what we have to suffer here regarding the lack of that unity, we will receive the full unity within short time. For Christ is coming. His coming is near. It's not long.
The bride is saying, I come hastily, and my reward is with me. And the Spirit and the bride are saying, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Please be the bride, and you will be saved into all eternity. Amen. Let us pray and thank now. O merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank thy holy name that thou enabled us to preach and to hear thy glorious gospel. And it cannot be uttered by man, for thou hast prepared for thy poor people, here often so far from the way, here often tempted and so full of temptations. And Lord, thou art coming all the time again. Thou art speaking, I am thy salvation. Thou art comforting, and thou art sighing in us. And we are looking forward to thy coming, to the full revelation of thy glory, to the day that sin shall be no more, that we are perfect, that we are totally filled with thee, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that there can never be any moment that we can be separated from thee. O Triune God, thou art our salvation. Thou art our hope and life. Lord, fill us. Take away everything out of our life what's not thee. Lord, we thank thee for all the mercies bestowed upon us this day and these weeks. Bless the congregation and give them a life close to thee, in unity and love among one another. And bless them, O Lord, if it may please thee, with a true and new servant of thee. Lord, we are not worthy, but thou art worthy, and we plead only on thy merits. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Receive now the blessing of the Lord, and go to your home in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.